I want to just start with a prayer, because this morning has been all about Father's love, isn't it? His heart for us, and in that, he gives us Holy Spirit. And I don't know about you, but I sometimes look at me, myself and I, and I think, God, now I wouldn't choose me, but he's chosen me, like he's chosen every single one of you. So Holy Spirit, I want to thank you for the journey that I've been on, the ups, the downs and the in-betweens. But I thank you, Lord, for your love. And I just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would take us on the journey that you want us to go on this morning. And that if it's not in here, that's okay. And if it is in here, that's okay too. And that we would just hear your words and not mine. Amen. Okay. The delightful screen that normally works up there to show us that that is moving isn't working. So if I do that, it means I've pressed a button. So if there's no change there, can someone wave so I don't keep getting headache in turning around? Is that all right? I did that teaching one day and no one told me that the screen had remained blank behind me. And I'm like, that's excellent example of communication, isn't it? Okay, so if you weren't with us last week, Dave introduced us to this 5-week series that we're on, looking at life in the Holy Spirit. And I'm on this journey, and it is a huge learning curve for me. So this is me speaking about my journey and to myself, really, and you just get to hear it, you poor things. Okay, so last week, Dave got us looking at God's standard for life in the Holy Spirit. So I don't know if you remember that, getting rid of some of the assumptions that we make about what life with the Holy Spirit isn't like, about being a spiritual being. Holy Spirit is spirit, so that makes us spirit as well, in a way. Can't wait to get my new body and try out walking through walls. That we're created for relationship, you know. So every single one of us sat here, we're here because God chose you, chose me, and he created me for a relationship. That's interaction. That's not just boring receiving instructions from a power out there, created for a relationship. And he looked at the challenge of balance. You know, how do we balance out that we've got God, the Holy Spirit, active in our lives, but we've also got Jesus, the Son, and we've got God, the Father, and how do we hold all of that in balance? So if you missed it, it's on Google Drive if you want the link, or if you want a CD or an MP3, let me know, because we can get it to you. So, yes, right, okay. Today, I've got the joy of God's provision for life in the Holy Spirit. And when you're preparing for things, God does an amazing job of highlighting things to you and takes you on a journey and puts you through a ringer yourself. And I'm like, God, I can't get up there and talk about your provision in the Holy Spirit, because I don't think I'm living in that truth 100% of all the time. And it's like, yeah, it's all right, at least I know that. You're human. That's why he's given us Holy Spirit. So we're going to look at who or what is Holy Spirit. Is Holy Spirit a person? The activities, the functions, the roles of the Holy Spirit. But we're only going to look at a few, because otherwise we would be surrounded by hundreds of gymnasts. And we're going to look a bit at God's provision for us. So if somebody asked you, what's this Holy Spirit? What's it all about? What would you say? What's some of the words that you might use? Really good at picking on people as well, just warn you, especially if I know your name. And if I don't, it'll just be all you. So, come on. If you had to describe the Holy Spirit to someone who doesn't know anything about him, what words would you use? Sorry? He's a person. Excellent. What else? He's God. What else? Comforter. Counselor. Living in me. What else? Fire. Okay. There's all sorts of descriptions, but you haven't said any of what is on my script. So let's have a look. Okay. Because actually, for some people, when they hear the word Holy Spirit, they think he's some spooky, you know, ghost floating around somewhere. No. Is he feel the Force, Luke? That Star Wars, that force that is all out there, that envelops all things, that directs the path of us humans? No. For some, he's rather a bit like James Bond, 007. He's that secret agent that God has sent out on a mission in each of our lives. He's the chief angel. Some people think, where did you get that? For others, they think of Holy Spirit as a name for the one true God. You know, don't know if you've heard that, thought that at some point in your life. But would it surprise you to learn that all of the above aren't actually what the Bible says about Holy Spirit, and so what Holy Spirit says about himself? So we're going to have a little look at what the Bible tells us. So Holy Spirit is a person. Yes, he is. Now you can look at John 14, 16 to 17 and verse 26 and Romans 8, verse 26. Okay? I've got them here, so I will read them out. But if you want to look on your Bibles or your phone, feel free. So Jesus was saying that he would ask the Father and he would give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Him. Person. Not it. Not that. Him. And in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. I'm discovering it's all right sometimes to be praying with wordless groans, because for some situations, there aren't the English words that cover it. And if you look at Acts and 1 Corinthians, refers to that Holy Spirit is God himself. If you don't know the story of Ananias and Sapphira, go look it up. You know, we might think that we're not lying. They were a couple who had a patch of land and thought, we'll sell it. But rather than give everything to this communal people group that we were living with, we're going to keep some of it back. Now, keeping some of it back was fine. That was their choice. But they lied to others about it. Only the Holy Spirit reveals things, reveals the truth. And so he revealed it to Skeezer Peter, who was like, Ananias, you know, why have you done this? Because actually, you've lied to God yourself. And the story goes on, and it's a bit of a woeful ending. So go and read it if you don't know it. But we're also told in the Bible that he is distinct as Holy Spirit from God the Father and God the Son. I have to turn my page here. When Jesus came out of the water, the heavens opened. He saw the Spirit of God coming down and resting on Jesus like a dove. As David was saying last week, a voice was heard from heaven. This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Now, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three distinct persons in one. My brain can't get around that, you know, but that's part of the mystery of God. But it's not different names or offices or roles for the one person. They're three people in one. I think, oh, I can't, you know. So when I get to heaven, am I going to see that? Am I going to see how they all fit in to make up one person? Don't know, but we'll know one day. So Holy Spirit isn't just the power of God or some kind of that Star Wars force. He's got to be a person. If you're into Greek and you like reading Greek, I remember having to learn the alphabet, and actually I can remember alphabet. Gamma, Delta, and that's as far as I get now. But there's a Greek word called pneuma. And if you look in John, back in the original Greek, that masculine pronoun is used for the Holy Spirit. It's a he. And there's another Greek word, if I can pronounce it correctly, parakletos. And that means it's talking about a person that was given as a comforter, or a counsel to another person or persons. So Holy Spirit is clearly a person, and he's clearly distinct from God the Father and God the Son, and yet he is God himself. Brain's kind of dead. Let me go and have a rest now. So I used to think, well, do I really need this Holy Spirit? Because whenever I heard Holy Spirit, it was in the context where people were doing all sorts. And back when I first got saved, I'm sorry, but emotions did not come into my life in terms of showing them. And so I didn't want to be introduced to this God who might get me dancing or singing prophetically or whatever it was. But I've learned since then that he's okay. Do we really need the Holy Spirit? Yeah, we do. And the slide just has a few of the words of the role or the person that he is. He's a spirit life. He intercedes for us. And as Dave said last week, if we're Christ believers, we're Christ followers, then the Holy Spirit is in us and he's for us and he's been given to us as our helper. And he has specific tasks, functions, roles, activities, however you want to label them. And we're going to look at 10, only 10 out of the millions that we could have looked at, really. So let's start at the beginning with Genesis. He's creating, you know, the earth was an empty waste and darkness was over the deep waters, Genesis 1:2. And the Spirit of God was moving over the waters. And I kind of think, was that creative mind? Of his thinking, actually, going to have a mountain here, going to do a valley there, going to leave the sea there to separate, you know, what were his thoughts when he was creating? And if he's creative, we're creative too. I just haven't yet managed to make a mountain other than out of chocolate or something like that. Chocolate fountain, ladies. Just saying for Thursday. And God said to Holy Spirit, let us make man like us. And goes on about being made in his image. Well, we're male and female, aren't we? So I can't work that one out. Because if God's a father and Jesus is the son and the Holy Spirit is a him, well, where does she fit into it? I don't know, but that's part of what I'll find out when I get to heaven. So Holy Spirit is creating. He's also responsible for revealing truth. No, we live in that privileged age, don't we, where we've got Bibles, we've got tablets that we can get a Bible up on, we can have loads of different translations. But they were all written by somebody at some point. But they didn't just pull words out of the head. The Holy Spirit revealed to them the truth that they were to write down. And because they were obedient to Holy Spirit and wrote down what he said, we get the benefits of that today. Prophetic voice, like Kelly brought this morning. It's Holy Spirit revealing. So, you know, God is going to send his son to mankind. So Holy Spirit reveals son to mankind. He goes and gets Mary pregnant. Can't do more than that, can he, in some ways? And Jesus' whole life, ministry, death, resurrection, that's all Holy Spirit bringing revelation of who he was. And when Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him and anointed him. So when he was teaching, when he was moving in power and seeing the dead raised, those lepers healed and all of that, it wasn't his power and authority, it came from the Holy Spirit. And I think, wow. And we get onto that, that's still for us today. That's where we're going to head. Redeeming. Okay, so Holy Spirit in Jesus' birth, ministry, death and resurrection, and with us, redeeming. What's redeeming? You know, it's that I am free from the penalty of that sin of death. I've been redeemed. God has gone and paid for me that I can come into his presence, that I can have relationship with him. As the slide says, I am a blessed, chosen, loved, adopted, redeemed, forgiven, and accepted saint in Christ Jesus. And I'm marked and sealed by the Holy Spirit. That says, enemy, naff off, because I'm not yours, I'm his. That's how God sees me, so that's who I am. And that's the truth that I'm trying to live in each day. And some days, yes, and other days, oh God, help. You know, but I'm human. That's why the Holy Spirit was sent, to be my helper, because in our humanness, actually, we wouldn't get very far, would we? We depend upon ourselves. And Jesus talked to the disciples about, you know, I've got to go away, because if I don't go away, the helper can't come. And I sometimes think it'd be amazing if Jesus was still with us now, to get to chat to him, eat with him, see the holes in his hands, you know, all of that. But I think, but actually, if he's here with me, maybe sharing with you. He can't be with Victory and St. Augustine's and whoever else around the world, because the miracles of Jesus were miraculous, but he couldn't be in more than one place at a time, whereas Holy Spirit isn't confined by that, is he? So, Son is obedient and goes to be with Father, that his other family member, Holy Spirit, can come and be with us. And I just think, God, I forget it. I take him so for granted sometimes. But Holy Spirit comes to help us, comes to strengthen us. He comes and he indwells us. You know, I think, oh, because I'm a big Alien fan, sorry, have to admit it. And I sometimes think, oh, is Holy Spirit like inside me and he's kind of wanting to get out? Is that what some of those aches and pains are about? But it's not. You know, Holy Spirit is in me. But as Dave was saying last week, he's a gentleman. He doesn't force himself into our lives. He doesn't force himself upon us. He doesn't force us to do some things and not do others. He's there and he's got the best plans and purposes. But actually, we need to be open to hear them and be obedient to that. So this hints at that intimate relationship that God wants with us through Holy Spirit, because he is my comforter and my counselor. He does defend me. He does pray on my behalf. I've seen that in these last few years of journeying. No, I wouldn't be here today, and I wouldn't be who I am today if it wasn't for him. So 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Do you not know that you're a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" And I seem to be kind of thinking about that more and more over these past weeks, whether it's because I've been reading and thinking, oh God, what are you wanting to say on that Sunday? But even I'd done a little bit of shopping and was walking back to the car, and pain levels were high, so I was like, oh. And somebody had parked like that far away from my door. I'm thinking, I know I've lost weight, God, but that's ridiculous. How am I supposed to get in there? And suddenly, out of my mouth is coming, this is just ridiculous. You know, what idiot would park like that and not think about the car spaces around him? But I was like shocked at my reaction, and I did manage to get in the car. And when I got in, I was just like, Holy Spirit, I'm so sorry, because actually that outburst probably grieved you. I hadn't thought of it like that. You know, did I embarrass you in any way? I don't think I can embarrass him, but I can grieve him. And I was like, God, I'm so sorry for that outburst. No, I don't think anyone else was around to hear it and see it other than you. But the fact that you're there is enough for me to repent. So I'm sorry. So indwelling, transforming. I'm so glad it is Holy Spirit who transforms us, and it's nothing to do with our energies. We have to do a little bit. We have to be obedient to him, but he changes us from the inside out. You know, some of those big long words, justification, sanctification. When we look at the Holy Spirit in his creating, revealing, redeeming and indwelling, that's all about my history. That's all about being brought into that love relationship with God. The Holy Spirit has done all of that for you and for me. But it doesn't stop there, because actually there's that big word, sanctification. It's a process that I go through to become more like Christ, to become more like Jesus. So if I could bring my 17-year-old self here and introduce you to her, we are very different, and I'm very thankful for it. But it's Holy Spirit who's softened me inside. It's Holy Spirit who's shown me love and how to love and how to receive love. It's Holy Spirit that's given me patience. The ferocious temper that I used to have, gone. And I'm like, thank you, God. But that's all about him. It's not about me. So my potential, your progress, that power outworking in our lives, to be able to live and think a bit more purely. That's all Holy Spirit. What's going on inside me? My heart, my feelings, my emotions, my likes, my dislikes, my tolerances of being with some of you and getting rubbed up the wrong way. Because we've all experienced it, haven't we? If we're honest. But actually, that's how Holy Spirit uses each one of us to make us more like Jesus. And it's not about what I want God to do for me in my life, because boy, I'd have some grand ideas and schemes there. But that working out my sanctification is trusting God in what he knows he wants for me. And we've already been reminded, you know, that his plans and purposes for us are to give us a hope and a future. They're not to hurt us, they're to prosper us. You know, so I've got to trust Holy Spirit. And sometimes Holy Spirit doesn't make the same sense that I have in my head. I would not have chosen to come to Rugeley, mainly because I never knew it existed until God brought me here. You know, and it's like, God, what are you doing? Where's the sea? 2 hours away from here. Come on, God. That's part of the cost of being obedient to him, and it's worth it. So he's involved in transforming us to be more like Jesus. And in that, we need to be filled. And the Greek word for that isn't just a one-off filling. We've heard that before. No, but it's that continuous, but it's completed. One of those weird words that it's done, but it also needs to be ongoing all the time. And I think, okay, another mystery. God, just help me to trust you and help me to walk with you each day. You know, Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. Be continually filled to the brim and then overflowing. And I love this slide because it was talking about that being sealed, indwelled and baptized by the Holy Spirit, that's all his role in our salvation. That's done. Nothing can take that away from me. It's done. Sealed. There. But being continuously filled, that's what I'm learning because that's what helps me walk that process of sanctification. Now, when I'm in the workplace and I'm out of patience, God never is. When I'm in the workplace and they're being a bit derogatory of somebody, Holy Spirit, if I'm listening, stirs up something within me, that I actually bring some truth that is positive about that person. Or say, guys, you know, that's not really building that person up, is it? Or I get up and I go to the loo or make a drink and take myself out of that situation. I'm learning each day to try and be filled because I am leaky and I get it wrong, but that's okay because he loves me anyway. So it's that constant reliance upon the Holy Spirit. I want to be living naturally a supernatural life because that's actually what God's promise is. He's the supernatural Father who lives in me. So if he lives in me and Jesus is in me, gosh, no wonder I'm so big sometimes. All those people crammed into one body. But actually, that power that is at work can be at work not just in my life but through my life. And I think, God, come on. And that filling, that's my reliance upon him. And that's just an idea of how deep my relationship with is. How wide, how high, the breadth of the relationship that we can have with God. Sometimes, you know, me being me, I think, right, okay, I've got that God. And then I think that's it. No more lessons. Yes, stupid me. Because actually then he moves me on. Or I don't know, I've learned I've received his healing and restoration in a particular area. But then a few years later, he brings it back. And I'm like, but God, didn't we go there? Didn't we deal with this? He went, yeah, we dealt with that. Now I want to deal with this root. It's dead, it's cut off, but it's still in there. And because it's in there, fruit can't grow there. So I just want to gently pull it out, a bit like a splinter. And I'm thinking, splinters, when they come out, hurt, mate. But actually, Holy Spirit helps us in that too. So being filled. And Holy Spirit helps us overcome. And boy, am I glad of that. Okay. He empowers us to win victory over temptation. I'm saved, I'm filled. Nothing can rob me of that. But I can still get tempted. We all can, can't we? No, that bit of food or watch that film. Or I'm just going to sit here and read this book for 3 hours. When actually God said, but I want some time with you. Come on, put the book down. That's me, that is, books. I put the book down. Just have 10 minutes with me even. Just listen, be with me, hear from me. And there's no better teacher than the Holy Spirit. And don't we have the best textbook out, the Bible? No, disciples didn't have that, and yet look at what they went and did. We've got that as a reference, and look at what we do. And I'm like, God, if I really took you at your word, my life would be so radically different, and that's going to be the challenge in my season to come. Yeah, so Holy Spirit's power is within us. And gifting. You know, when I think of the Holy Spirit, I often think of the fruits of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, and all of that. I forget his gifts sometimes. You know, so it gives us the gift of knowing. So prophecy, word of knowledge, you know, it can very easily whisper into our ears. if we're listening to him, if we're obedient to him. A word of wisdom. Now, somebody at work the other day came up and said, Lisa, can I have a quiet word with you, please? Now, in my old job, that would have meant, oh, what's my boss going to be accusing me of now? And I still have to learn to get out of that negative reaction, because it's not like that where I am now. So we go off into one. And actually, somebody in her family has just been given a diagnosis that is terminal. And she's like, how do I deal with this? And how do I help them? And how do I support them? And I'm thinking, why are you asking me? No, because I haven't talked to her about God. We haven't had the God conversation. But actually, there's God shines through us, doesn't he? Just as we were singing. And so actually, I was like, well, you love them. You support them. You be what they need you to be. Shoulder to cry on. Take some food round. We can be praying for them. I said, would you mind if I put them on my prayer list? There's all sorts of different ways that God works. It's Holy Spirit in doing. Faith for miracles, faith for healing, works of power. Now, in speaking, our tongues, our interpretation, our prophecy of this morning. Now, those diamonds love it. Because actually, when light hits a diamond, the colours are awesome. And the different varieties and how it's been cut. And I often have a picture of us as those precious gems. No, but when a gem is found in the ground, it's ugly, actually. You'd look at it and think, well, that's not much. But once it's been cut, once it's been polished, somebody who's good at cutting diamonds knows exactly what to do and what not to do when they look at a stone to bring out the best beauty from within. And that's what God's doing with me, and that's what he's doing with you. In our serving, our giving, our teaching, our leading, in our acts of mercy. You know, some of us are very good at doing that in our natural selves, but when we do it out of a basis of him, so much more powerful, so much more effective, and not as knackering as trying to do things in our own strength. And he gives to each of us a particular gift, ability. It might be someone he gives more than one ability to. Don't know. That's part of us getting to know each other in how God sees us and not in how we often see ourselves or see each other. You know, but those gifts are given to serve God, to glorify God, to serve us as a family, and to impact on the communities, the places where we work, where you take your kids and stand at the school gate, the farmers' markets where you go and haggle over the price of a cow. You know, in how we are, in what we say, what we don't say, in our smiles and our grimaces. Holy Spirit can work through all of that, and I'm loving it most of the time. But there are some times when I think, oh God, please not now. Can I just sit here and have a cuppa, please? And not be conscious that there's someone sat over there who's hurting. And I'm thinking, give me the boldness and the courage. Missed it last week with someone. And then I saw him walking down the street and I still missed it. Because I was like, God, there's just something in me at the moment. I can't go. That's crazy. Because why wouldn't we? Because he can heal him. No? So that's my journey. And Holy Spirit is all about sending us out into our communities, into our families. Acts 1:8 is a bit of a challenge. It was in the New Testament. Holy Spirit came upon all those bods and off they went and they changed the world. Now, my notes were talking about that E word that some of us hate, evangelism, and others of us love. You know, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. That's for them, but that's also for us today. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and regionally in Staffordshire and the surrounding areas. It's not a, you might be. It's not a, well, if you spend this amount of hours with me every day, you could be. It is a will be. And sometimes think, whether I choose that or not, no, people see God in us. And when you get somebody like at work coming up and asking you that question, it's like, well, God, that's got to be all about you because it certainly isn't about me. And it's been open to being sent by him down the road when you go and pick up your newspaper, saying hi with a smile might be the only smile that that guy receives in his day. Saying thank you. No, not just if someone's opened a door, but thank you to the lollipop lady or man who's there every day, whatever the weather, helping our kids safely across the road. Take them a box of chocolates. Do something crazy. Because actually, that just speaks such volumes. So that promise was for them, but it's also for us. And sometimes I let go of that, but God's like, come on, Liz, walk with me. And the Holy Spirit walks with us on a journey that ends in that eternal union with our Father. He consummates our relationship. Now, you put consummate in your Google, you get some very interesting pictures that I thought were entirely irrelevant to this morning. But you know, God our Father wants that intimate relationship with us. And he knows what we're like, so he's given us Holy Spirit to help in that. And the fact that the Holy Spirit walks with me, so, you know, if somebody had said to my 17-year-old self, you know, one day you're going to be chatting in front of people. One day you're going to be hugging people. One day you're going to be down on the ground playing with their kids. One day you're going to be a youth leader. I would have been, yeah, right, do one. Holy Spirit can completely bring about the purposes that God has for us, irrespective of where we started from. And I'm going to get to be with him. I can forget that I am part of the bride, as are you. You know, Jesus is the groom. He's already in waiting. He's got his suit sorted. He's waiting for us. You know, and when we're talking about jewels and things, I think my church daughter, there's somebody who calls me her church mum, and she's just gone and bought her wedding dress. You know, and all the excitement that comes with that, and I think, wear a wedding dress. Guys, you're part of the bride. Get over it. You know, and we're being prepared. We're being scrubbed clean. We're being intricately woven together. That when that day comes, wow, what a beautiful bride we will be. And I can forget it. That's what the Holy Spirit is aiming for. And you know, that song that we were singing back at the start, that he's wonderful and such a good father. I've learned that, you know. And to be able to love with open arms like he does, irrespective of where someone comes from, what they sound like, what they look like, what they smell like. A hug can say a million things. I'm learning that. That love that erases all the lies, that sees the truth. No, if I'm going past somebody who's living on the streets, I have to stop now. I'll buy them a drink or a meal. Because I want them to know they are a human being. They are still valued as part of our society. I'm not just going to ignore them like the other 1,000 people that have just walked past. But it's Holy Spirit that's done that, because I wouldn't have cared years ago. I wouldn't have seen it even. So the Holy Spirit has a huge work to do in us, doesn't he? You know, to prepare each one of us for that day when we will meet with Jesus. And I don't care whether it's because I've died and left here, I'll see you all there, or whether he's come again and we're whisked up. No, either way, we get to be with him. And so the Holy Spirit has that enormous work to do in us because he's preparing us for that day. So what's your goal in life? Question for you to think on, to ponder on. Now, we're being asked, ladies, to talk about our dreams on Thursday night. And I'm like, God, would you give me a dream? Because it's been so long since I've dreamt. You know, would you stir that up again in me? But what's your goal? Because I know what Holy Spirit's goal is. And that I want to be my goal as well. That becoming more and more like Jesus is the ultimate goal for us. You know, my family think I'm weird in that I've moved here. In some of the things that I've done, some paid, some not paid. And in the things that I could have been doing, and the salary that I could have earned, they don't get Jesus. Get little snips of him sometimes, you know, but they don't get that actually I'm where he wants me to be and I'm doing what he wants me to do, so that's okay. So my goal I sometimes forget it, you know, but that hope to become more and more like him so that I have compassion, because I never used to have that. That I have grace, mercy, practice hospitality, all those things that come from him. You know, Holy Spirit was involved in our salvation. He was involved when Jesus died and rose again. That finished work on the cross, no one can undo it, no one can take it away from us. And God's provision for changing us. God's provision for changing us is personal. It's not a distance. It doesn't say, slave, go and talk to Mead and tell her to move from there to there. It doesn't work like that. He's in relationship with us. He isn't into do it yourself. Some of you are, and that's okay. You can come and put a shelf up for me. You know, but it's not into us striving in our own efforts to be a better person, because actually we're going to fall down at some point. Beauty is, if I fall down with him, he picks me up again, he dusts me off. He's like, come on then, Lise, let's go again and again and again, because he loves me. So the Holy Spirit's job is to come and work personally within us to bring about that miracle that is each one of us sat here who know him. You know, and I know there's that, well, when somebody's testimony is they were into this, that and the other, and they were into drugs and all of that, and then I met with Jesus, and now I'm like this. That's awesome, that's fantastic, that's a huge miracle, but so is the miracle of the person who had the privilege of being brought up in a home where God was spoken, where his truths were outworked, where at some point in your life you would have had to have made your decision, I'm not going to go off my parents' faith and beliefs, actually, I'm going to nab this Jesus for myself. That is just as much a miracle as someone like me who never even thought that there was a God. You know, so we are miracles that the Holy Spirit is wanting to come and work on personally. And a couple of slides from Dave's last week, he wanted that reminder that we are in relationship. You know, God's got hold of my hand, might not feel it all the time, but the truth is he's always with me and he's walking by my side and he's walking with me through everything. So irrespective of what life circumstances might dictate, what my brain says in the midst of when depression's war, you know, actually it's his love that sets us free. It's his truths that set us free. That intimate relationship with him. And that reminder that Jesus promised Holy Spirit would come. And he did. And he is. And he will be. To guide, to comfort, and to be our all. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm learning. You know, I can be stubborn. I can be resistant. I can be cynical. All those things. But I'm learning, actually, my daddy is not like that, and he's not out to trick me, you know, to set me up to fail or anything like that. It's not going to offer me something good, and then as I reach out to take it, it's going to slap me in the face. Nothing like that. He wants that relationship with us, and we are the ones who give permission to the Holy Spirit. Come and have your way. Come and do what you want to do in me. Come and do what you want to do through me. Come and change me to be more like your son. So I want to pray, and we're just going to have a few minutes of a song. It's on YouTube, so musicians, don't worry. And just take a few moments to just sit. Holy Spirit, here am I. Do with me what you want. Whatever it is that pops into your head. It might be it gives you a word of knowledge or a word of encouragement for someone. So get up, take someone with you and go over to them and give it to them. And then they can weigh it up, can't they? So, Father, I just want to thank you that life is all about you. And in those moments when we forget that, you are so gracious in bringing us to a point where we can repent and get right before you. And I thank you that your love is everlasting and nothing can separate us from that. And Holy Spirit, thank you for that awesome privilege of being a temple of you, for you. And we can look at our bodies and we can look at our lives and we can so easily disqualify ourselves. Yet when we look through your eyes, God, your truth sets us free. So as we listen now, Holy Spirit, will you just come and have your way amongst us? If we need comfort, will you bring it? Healing, will you bring it? Restoration, restoring of the years that the locusts have eaten. That confirmation, yep, I'm to be here. Holy Spirit, would you just come and whisper and pour out your love upon us? Amen.